strange country between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yes, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with a radio blastin' and the bird dog on. There's a beat trap with my head down the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger around, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
You keep calling me on the telephone. You say you're all alone. Well, that's real sad. And you keep leaving notes stuck on my door. Guess you're hungry for some more. Well, girl, that's too bad. Bring me round. 'Cause every
time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And it's Monday, the 22nd of October. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. I am Coke Reynolds. Quite naturally, I'm the one that always does the Shooting Bench. Let me go before I get too cocky here. Let's step over here and see what's going on in the chat room and make sure we got sound and everything's working correctly. Make sure I've pushed all the right buttons at the right time and all of that stuff here. Got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Let's see here. All right. Thank you, Tebow. You're on top of it. All right. Everybody's on top of it. Thank y'all. Who all we got in there anyway? There is Desert Rats in there again, and Doc, and Granny, and Mountain Shooter, and Nam's with us. NM Glock, Northwest Heavy. Hey, WMD Doc made it in there tonight. Good to see you, brother. By golly, you figured it out. And Yakima Glock and T-Bow, and there's one anonymous in there. And as I have recently discovered, if we look at the globe down there at the lower left-hand corner of the chat room, we find little red dots all over. From what I understand, those are all people that are currently tuned in. So, very good. Granny Red, hey, good to see you in here tonight, too, by golly. I don't know if we'll do 2 hours or not. I don't think it's going to be that much stuff to talk about, but we'll see. And we may have, whatever, after the break, I will see if I can bring some other news in here for you. Let me switch screens here on account of that was just too busy. It's got too much stuff going on. Let's see if we can figure out this one here. I got to get up the... should have had this up to begin with and didn't do it. But there's a veritable plethora of news going on here today. Not the least of which, by the way, is, you know, we made fun of Obama here, I guess it's been over 2 years ago now. Having trouble, we looked at some of the pictures of people saying him having trouble filling up high school gymnasiums and stuff like that. Well, President Trump does not have that problem. As a matter of fact, it's kind of hard for President Trump to find a town big enough to have his rallies at. And when you find that town, to find a venue that will support the people that come. I thought that Mesa, Phoenix, Gilbert, Surprise, Peoria, and all the same thing. I thought that was pretty good. There was, I don't know what they said, 15,000 people or something like that down there. It's a lot of people. I was impressed. And then they went to Elko. And I was even impressed more than then. And then he went to Houston. And I was just about as impressed as I could get. I guess over 100,000 people showed up to this thing. They originally was going to do it in some Toyota complex. That's what we did over in Prescott, Arizona. We had a show over there one time, and it was in a Toyota building. Had a really, really nice convention center type deal or whatever it was. I don't know what they called it, but really nice place. And they found one that would seat 19,000 people. I said, really? This is not going to work. So he said that we're going to have a Texas-sized tailgater, have an outside party here. And that's what they did. So, and then Joe Biden has had his little rally And believe it or not, bless his heart, he had 193 people show up. Yeah, and I'm so proud of him. That's, not really. Let's see, Granny Red, looking to tell Facebook stuff soon. Okay, what kind of Facebook stuff are you going to tell us, Granny Red? We'll see what's going on there. yeah, that's probably good advice there, Granny. Don't ride an open limo in Texas. Yeah, I remember a former president had a little problem with that. Kind of lost his head about the whole thing, so not a good idea. Okay, let's move on. Let me get my other deal. Let's see. First off, this is the worst of the worst for news, and I hate to even report this, but it's getting to a point where people have they just lost touch with reality. I mean, their moral compass is just freewheeling and has no place to stop. And I don't know why is this not coming up? What happened? So, the story that you sent me is not working. Do what? No? Well, I can't because it's not working. So. Okay. Well, I guess we'll skip that one then. Wonder if this is going to be for all of my stories. I wonder what's going on here tonight. Let me check and see what's happening. Let's try this one. Well, while we're waiting, the 75th Ranger Battalion has, for the second year in a row, won the International Sniper Competition. It's quite a contest, quite a little deal they go through here. This is the 18th annual sniper competition. It was won by a two-man team from our own 75th Ranger Regiment. Took out 29 other teams from across the U.S. Department of Defense and civilian law enforcement agencies and from other international agencies. They were team number 17, sniper and spotter, and it was 5 days worth of competition there, held at the U.S. Army Sniper School in Fort Benning, Georgia. There were people there from the Army, National Guard, Reserve, as well as FBI, Marines, Coast Guard, Air Force. The overseas teams came from Australia, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Ireland, Israel, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. And our guys did it. Second place was the Colorado Army National Guard from out of Colorado Springs. Third place was, why do we have an asterisk here? Okay. Third place was the Swedish 17th Wing Air Force Rangers. And fourth was 82nd Airborne. So there you go. That was good news. We got, I know that Edge of the Woods was glad to hear that. That was his former unit there. There's something that, you know, here, what, a year and a half or so ago, I went down to Tucson. Granny Red asked if they were headed down to the border. Yeah, that'd be a good place to start. By golly, get some free practice. We're going to talk about the border here in a little bit. Hang on a minute. Let me see. I may have some breaking news here. Let's see what's going on. All right. Let's see. Get back on track here. There we go. Come on.
All right. I told you I went to Tucson to the Liberty Fest that they had. We went again. Amy and I went again this year. And great show. Good speakers. Jeanette was down there this year. Jeanette Finnicum. And they've always got, also this year, I think I told you the day we got back, there was a Navy SEAL there by the name of Jason Redman. What a remarkable speaker. Just a very, very motivational. He was, to see all, you wouldn't believe all the stuff that happened to him. He was shot up so bad, it was unbelievable. He wrote a book called The Trident. The Trident. And it's called The Forging and Reforging of a Navy SEAL Team Leader. So, if you get a chance, pick that book up, read it. But the year before that, we got to meet the mom and dad of Aaron Carson Vaughn. He was a SEAL team from SEAL Team 6, killed on August 6, 2011, killed in the Tangi River Valley in Afghanistan when a chopper carrying 30 Americans was shot down. She is what you call a gold star mom. And she's also a great speaker. We got to meet her, got her autograph and everything. And I'm going to read to you. It's a little bit long, but it's a little bit important. I think it's good stuff. Hang on just a second here. Stand by 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm right back. A lot of people voted for Trump because they figured that he was the lesser of two evils. They weren't happy with either one of them. A lot of people have since changed their mind. Kind of water under the bridge now, but I want to tell you what Karen Vaughn wrote about this situation. She said a lot of the stuff in this piece that I'm going to read here, we heard when she talked about her son. But certainly not all, because this is a totally different thing. She's talking about President Trump. When Gold Star moms speak, people have a tendency to listen. And so here's what she said. This is Karen Vaughn speaking here. Sometimes God uses the no-nonsense, salty sailor to get the job done. Appreciating what the man is doing doesn't mean we worship the salty sailor or even desire to be like the salty sailor. It doesn't even mean God admires the salty sailor. Maybe he just knows he's necessary for such a time as this. I believe with all my heart that God placed that salty sailor in the White House and gave this nation one more chance in November of 2016. Donald Trump is what he is. He is still the man he was before the election, and without guilt, I very much admire what that salty sailor is accomplishing. He's not like me, and that's okay with me. I don't want to be like him. I will never behave like him. I know we've never had a man like him lead our nation. It's crazy and a little mind-blowing at times. But I can't help admire the ability he has to act with his heart rather than a calculated PC, think tank screened, carefully edited script. I still believe that is why he became our president and why he has been able to handle a landslide of adversity and still pass unprecedented amounts of good legislation for our country and do great works for many other nations, including Israel. I'm thrilled with what he's doing for my nation, for the cause of Christ, whether intentional or unintentional, doesn't matter to me. And for the concept of rebuilding America and putting her first, I will not be ashamed of my position because others don't see him through the same lens. Should it matter to me if a fireman drops an F-bomb while he's pulling me from a burning building?
Would I really care about what came out of his mouth in those moments? Heck no. I care about what he's doing. He wasn't sent there to save my soul, and I'm not looking to him for spiritual guidance. All I'm thinking in those moments is, thank you, Jesus, for sending me this fireman. This man is crass. Okay. He's not careful with what he says. Okay. You feel offended that he's not a typical statesman. Okay. But he is rebuilding the nation that my son died for. The nation I feared was on a fast track to becoming a hopeless cause. Forgive me if I'm smiling. And that is the end of Karen Vaughn's little speech there. And as usual, she was easy to listen to. She's very dynamic when she talks. And I very much enjoyed listening to her down in Tucson that time. So, and that's kind of what... what the guy said to start with before this speech was that he, you know, voted for the lesser of two evils, as a lot of people did. I didn't feel that it was that way. I felt that that President Trump was very much what the country needed and what we were looking for. And I've told you a dozen times, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because we've talked about it before, but I still have a hard time understanding what some of these people that call themselves conservatives have against President Trump. He's done nothing but good things. Did he tell a couple of small untruths about some stuff? Maybe. So, if that's the worst that he does, you know, people have been trying to dig up dirt on him for 3 years, and they tried to manufacture some, and it just did not work. There's just not anything there. And they keep saying, well, he'll do this. You know, he's told us that. And, you know, well, when and if he does, maybe I'll change my mind. But so far, he has done everything that I expected of him and more, a lot more. And at this point, so far, I have absolutely zero regrets for him being in the White House. I think he is doing an awesome job. So, WMD Doc popped into the chat room there. Glad to see you here. Glad you made it in. WMD Doc is a busy man. He's not able to make it in here very often, but he's in there now. All right, let's move on here to. Did you guys hear about the? There was a Fox News affiliate. In where was it? Was it Ohio or somewhere? Anyway, they had an intruder break in, and armed security actually had to shoot him. He was an unarmed intruder. Now, what we're not sure of yet is what exactly his motive was. We're not sure if it's related to other stuff that's going on around the country. But, here's an updated deal here. One of the security guards involved said that she and a fellow guard told the suspect to back up, but he refused. He said she sprayed him with mace, and when that didn't stop him, the second guard shot him once in the upper body. He thought we were females and it wasn't going to get handled, but it did. The suspect was unarmed. Now, that's not much more than what we had before. We're going to come back to a topic that this just reminded me of here in a minute. But I don't remember which talk show host it was that I was listening to on the radio today. But they played probably 10, 12, maybe even 15 little short sound bites of things that Democrats have said. Not all elected officials, but some have said, like, you know, we got to take them out. We got to do this, punch them in the nose. Just went on and on with all these violent things that they're planning on doing, that they're encouraging people to do.
And on the one hand, I feel like the host did. You know, it's kind of astounding that they have somehow found the backbone to do all this all of a sudden. But on the other hand, it's not the least bit surprising. We've been expecting this for a long, long time, that these guys would go off the deep end at one time. However, after saying that, we have talked about numerous scenarios that might start a second civil war or a second revolution. In none of those scenarios has anybody ever mentioned Republicans against Democrats, conservatives against liberals, the John Birch Society against Antifa, you know, whatever. But that is where we're at. That's a scenario that none of us ever really sat down and thought of. There was always so many other things. It was always us against the government, or us against UN, or us against the illegal aliens, or us against another country coming in here, you know, China, Russia, Korea, North Korea, or whatever. And at some point, yes, people would be, citizens would be fighting citizens, but we never saw the line so clearly drawn as we're seeing right now. And it's pretty well carved in stone right now. If you think this election day, this coming election, is going to be just another election day to put in the books, and some will say, oh, great, we won. Others will say, well, we'll get you next year. Next election, we'll, it's one of those things. I don't think that's going to be the topic of conversation this election day. I think that there are strong possibilities that something may go very, very wrong election night, sometime during the day or very early the next morning. And, I really think that we should consider how we are, or if we are, prepared to confront something like that. So,
WMD Doc is having trouble. Okay, he rebooted. That's too bad. WMD Doc, go to the corner. You're out of here. This brings up another. I was reading this deal here, and it brings up another topic. It says here that we were talking about the shooting at the Fox News affiliate. Said that the bad guy, the intruder, said he thought we were females and it wasn't going to get handled, but it did.
Well, that may or may not have been what he thought. But here's the deal. I have been asked numerous times about, not always from women, but many times, about how or if they should wear their gun when they're jogging. Now, I've told you all the story two or three times about the girl that was accosted by the 14-year-old boy in Farmington. She was one of my students and had thought that, she wore a gun all the time. She was very, very loyal, very faithful, did everything that we suggested and helped her out, and thought that she was carrying all the time. But somehow the action of jogging somehow didn't fit into her definition of all the time. So, I'm going jogging. When I get back, I'll put on my gun like I always do and go to work and blah, blah, blah. She worked in the emergency room. We had to rig her up with something she could wear under her scrubs, and that was fine, but she didn't think about wearing it while she's jogging. Well, okay, you know the rest of the story on that one. So do you wear openly or do you wear concealed if you're a woman when you're jogging? Okay, trick question, kind of. As this woman security guard said here, he thought we were females and wasn't going to get handled, but it did. that right there kind of makes one of my points. When a female wears a gun, it depends on a couple of things. Well, it all boils down to one thing. It all boils down to the degree of training that she has, along with the determination that she has. A very determined female, little Spitfire that really has it all handled and all thinks she's all squared away. When it comes down to the point where you have to draw that gun and fire accurately in less than 1.5 seconds, are you at that point? Are you at the point where you can read the body language and everything? And how close did you let him get to you, your potential assailant? Do you know that it takes the average person a second and a half to cover 21 feet and inflict a fatal blow with a contact weapon? If you let him get within 21 feet, you're starting to get behind the curve. If that assailant has like jogging the opposite direction or jogged up behind you or sitting on a rock beside the trail, and all of a sudden you find yourself 6, 8, 10 feet from this assailant, you cannot draw your weapon in time to do any good. So at that point, are you better off to have it open or concealed? I told this person that called me that if it's open, that some people will take that as a challenge. Knowing that a great number of the women that do carry have little or no training, regardless of their determination. Training doesn't mean a concealed carry class. Training doesn't mean an NRA safety class. Training doesn't mean going out on some afternoon and having some former, retired police officer or army sergeant or whatever show you how to hit a target standing on level ground with the birds singing and the sun shining and everything great. It doesn't tell you about being able to get that gun out while someone already has a hold of you and firing. A great many things go along with this topic. And so my suggestion is to always, in a situation like that, if you don't have that training, is to carry concealed. Will the gun by itself scare someone off? Maybe. It has happened. We've talked about a couple of instances where someone, where crime was averted because of an open carrier in at the right place at the right time. We've also talked about a man that was accosted, his own gun was taken from him, and he was robbed at his own gunpoint because he was carrying openly in a state that did not allow concealed carry. So if you're not able, I won't even say not able, if you don't have the mindset to protect that weapon 100% of the time, if you're not pretty well schooled in weapon retention, you have no idea how very simple it is to take a gun away from somebody in an open carry holster if they are not really on top of their game. And this is what I tell people in a lot of my classes. If you're not prepared to defend, protect, retain that gun 100% of the time that you're wearing it, you do not need to be wearing it openly, period. You cannot reliably expect that the presence of that gun is always going to scare somebody off. It may not. If it does, fine. If it don't, not fine. I had a guy that, now this was a man. Am I a sexist for saying that? Yeah. This was a man. I was doing some militia training in New Mexico one time. And the guy had a new Phobos holster. And Phobos, their standard belt or paddle holster has the infamous FBI cant to it, tilted slightly forward. And the thing that people do so much, so often when they carry openly, is they place it right on the point of their hip, right at 3 o'clock on your body, which is the worst place you can put it if you're going to wear it openly. So I'm standing there talking to this guy. I'm probably between 18 inches and 24 inches away from him, standing directly in front of him. And I'm kind of talking with my hands. You know how you put your hands up and I'm saying something here. And I got to saying something about how easy it would be to take that gun away. And right as I said that, he started to say, yeah, I'd like to see somebody try. And I had the gun in my hand already. I took his gun out of his holster while he was trying to tell me how he would so much like to see somebody try that. It is not remotely difficult to take a gun away from somebody that's not schooled in weapon retention. You should be wearing that holster at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, not 3 o'clock. That puts it in an angle that's a little bit more difficult for someone directly in front of you to get, but not so far behind you that it's easy for someone behind you to get. That elbow should be on that gun all the time. If someone is in within 21 feet of you, that elbow should be locked down on the grip of that weapon all the time. The NM Glock, they fixed that a long time ago. The two rivets that you twist off, you can't do that anymore. But it was that way for a long time, and there's lots of YouTube videos out there that show it. But they pretty well remedied that. It's much stronger than it used to be. So just something for you to think about. I thought I'd throw that out there. When it's concealed, all holsters are retention holsters. Mountain Shears, this depends on it's a level 1, level 2, or level 3. Phobos holsters are level 1 retention. And they're held in there by friction snaps in place. What would you call a regular leather holster? A level 0, maybe? It's just held in there by gravity. But Phobos holsters are, I don't like the way they're designed, and they don't have, some of the newer ones have some adjustment on them for tightening that up a little bit. But They're much, much better holsters than they were, 10 years ago or so. Maybe even a little longer than that, probably 15 years ago. I'm still not a big fan of Phobos. I don't care for them too much. But they work in a pinch. Actually, to tell you the truth, I have, when I go out for a quick walk or a little jog or something, I have a Phobos paddle holster that I wear. If I was doing it in downtown Phoenix, I wouldn't wear that one. But around here, I don't care. It's all right. But that's right, Doc. Yeah, properly fitting leather holsters. Yeah, they do hold through friction. And that's probably level 1. Probably same as a level 1 retention. Anyway, let's go back up here to, we've already missed our break, so we'll probably skip the break tonight. Granny has a comment here about pink guns. Let me tell you my
totally biased opinion on Pink Guns. I think Pink Guns, if they will
encourage women to carry and shoot one, I have no problem with Pink Guns. Some people will say that, they look too much like a toy gun. Well, yes and no, because it's pink. If it doesn't have the blaze orange or red muzzle painted on it, then it's not a legal toy gun. Your toy guns should all have the red muzzle on it. But you don't judge whether a gun is real or not by its color. That's just entirely stupid. We sold a gun one time. There's a picture of it on Photo Bucket, and I could go get it and show it to you. We did a pink camouflage gun, light pink and darker pink camouflage Glock 19, chopped to a 26 grip with a flashlight on it and a matching holster and all that. It sold for $2,300, $2,350 maybe. There was an insurance lady there that had the money, and she was not going home without that gun. And she kept bidding on it. She paid $2,300 for it. If it will encourage that woman to carry, then I'm all for her buying a pink gun. It may have, some people may look at that and from an assailant standpoint, they may look at that and say, oh, look at that sissy pink gun. Yeah, well, if that woman knows how to use that gun, then you're going to have the last laugh there. So the color to me, for a while when they first came out, I said, that's goofy. What in the hell would anybody want with a pink gun? That's just ridiculous. But the more I thought about it, the more people we trained. Yeah, stand by. The more I realized that the color makes absolutely zero difference in whether or not whether the gun is serious, whether the gun is real or not. Let's see. What Yakima Glock say? Most states only require toy guns to have orange muzzle tip to be sold, but not after the point of sale. Yeah, if you've already got one, I mean, the states don't matter. That's federal law, actually. But if you've already got a used pistol from, a used toy pistol from 30 years ago that doesn't have an orange muzzle, then it's not required to get one. But when you buy them new, they pretty much all are supposed to now, I think. Anyway, that's my take on colored guns. Amy actually has a little purple Taurus 738. Is it? Who had the purple one? No, Amy's is pink. So there you go. I've been talking about pink all the time. I thought hers was purple. Who in the heck did we get a purple one for? Well, let's think about that. I knew we had one. We'd give it somewhere. Doc, the 738 is very similar. What did they call it? It was the Taurus TCP, Tango Charlie Papa. The 738 is very, very similar to the Ruger LCP. The little crappy pistol. I mean, the little cheap pistol, the little compact pistol, whatever they call it. I like the Taurus much better than the Ruger. Ruger Taurus has ever so slightly better sights, quite a bit better trigger. Several little features on the Taurus that I like much better than the Ruger. The Ruger was not a bad gun. We took it out and shot it. I actually did a couple of videos on it. They're on my YouTube channel. And we also did one on the 738. And they shoot really well, surprisingly well. I was actually kind of dumbstruck when we went out and shot that thing. It shot really good. So that's
That's a backup for your backup or whatever. So, all right. Now, if that Granny Red said I hate painted pink hard hats and work construction either. So that doesn't bother me. I don't care. It's you want to wear Tutti Frutti. Don't make me wear one. But if you want to wear a Tutti Frutti hard hat and a pink pistol and dye your hair green, whatever, I don't care. It's your stuff. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, let's see. Let me get back over here to our list of stuff and see if... Let me back up here a little bit. I don't know what happened to that one story. I can't bring that up. So we'll just let it go for tonight. We talked about that. We'll talk about this in a minute. We're going to talk about this caravan coming up here. There's a lot of fishy stuff going on with this caravan. Supposedly, if you listen to the story, if you believe the story that the lamestream media tells you, these people have been traveling for however many thousand miles, 1,000 miles, 2,000 miles, whatever. Look at their clothes. How many laundromats are there along the way? They're not shoddy and run down. They don't look hungry. Their hair is combed. They're all in pretty good shape. So where were the fast food restaurants and the laundromats and the Motel 6 that they all stopped and got their good night's sleep and got their clothes washed and got them a bite to eat? They have walked, you know, you got to be doing pretty good on level ground. 25 miles a day is doable on level ground for that. These are all fighting age males. I saw very few women, very few old men. This is just like the first bunch of invaders that came and they went to Europe and everything. Overwhelmingly, 90-some percent of them are fighting-age males. A fighting-age male can walk 25 miles pretty easily down the highway in a day's time. So you're looking at 100 miles in 4 days. You're looking at 40 days to make 1,000 miles. Yeah, it could be done faster than that for a determined people. Probably not for that large of a group. You're probably looking at 50 to 60 days for that large of a group to make 1,000 miles. So the news that this caravan was coming just popped up here, a week or so ago? We didn't know 2 months ago that they were on their way? That should have showed up on satellite. I mean, we should have known that the day they started out. So there's something that doesn't add up here. Somebody's paying for this. Somebody has hauled them up here. And the trick here is going to be that this is going to cause such a disruption. Something's going to happen. I'll tell you what that something might be. President Trump has already said that he's going to turn the military loose on them. And I've heard a couple of different stories here. Actually, one of them was verified that 400 or was it 4,000 National Guard are being deployed to the border. Others say that 82nd Airborne is being prepared to deploy. I don't know that one is true. I do know that the National Guard one has been verified. What's that going to do to the elections? If they get right up here on November 5th, 4th or 5th, 3rd, somewhere in there, and we wind up lighting them up on the border. They won't stop. They're coming through the fences. They're disobeying the commands, ignoring commands, and they wind up having to shoot. What's that going to do to the election?
That is, this, somebody is putting a lot of money and a lot of thought into this. And that is one of numerous reasons that I think that November 6th is going to be an exciting day, to put it mildly.
People said he didn't hear about the new chain of Eat, Sleep, and Washes. No, I didn't. I must have missed that story, Tebow. I'll have to look that up. You know, Doc, I have to agree with you.
There are people out there, and some of these talk show hosts today are some of them. We are a Christian country, they say. The wave of humanity that's coming up. No, this is not a group of immigrants. These are not refugees. Let's call it what it is. Let's make no mistake about this. These are invaders. They are putting thousands of fighting age males inside our country to meet with the ones that are already here. We have borders for a reason. Every country has borders for a reason. Pretty much every country in the world. Now, Mexico didn't. Or at least we don't know what the story is of how all these people got into Mexico. But most countries are willing and able and have used lethal force to stop people coming across their borders that don't do it legally. America, for whatever reason, so far hasn't. Doc said a couple of gunships with a minigun to stop that. Well, you know, I don't want to appear like a warmonger or non-un-Christian or whatever, but I have to say you're right. Would I just sit there and wait for them to step across the border and light them up? No, I would not. I would make arrangements with Mexico and let me fly over the border and drop like 100,000 flyers on them that would tell them in no uncertain terms, in 3 or 4 different languages, stop. Do not cross that border. We are prepared to use lethal force to stop you at the border. I would give them every opportunity. I would have loudspeakers out there, give them every conceivable chance not to cross that border. But the first one that steps across, I would light him up. I'm sorry, maybe you don't want to hear that. But my country has been invaded enough already by Democrats. I don't need any more of this stuff coming over. I don't need more Democrats coming in here. Folks, this is going to be, however it goes, it's going to be a problem. Don't you think for a damn minute that this is not going to be a problem on election day.
NM Glock, maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe we should either get with Mexico or have Mexico do it for us. Drop those flyers out there tomorrow, the next day. And, get some, I'm not sure that the pepper spray bombs over them would do any good.
You know, the results, the effects of pepper spray, 45 minutes or an hour and you're back on the march. So what is that going to accomplish? I mean, all it would do is say, we're giving you another chance. I'd say, we've give you written notice. We've sent you some bear spray bombs, and as soon as you get your eyes cleaned out and everything going, you're still headed north, so guess what's next? Sorry about that.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's putting President Trump in a bind. It's putting all Republicans in a bind. If we wind up having to shoot, I am afraid that this will change the, that it will maybe not change, will affect the outcome of the election one way or another. It will affect it in some manner. So, we'll see. All right, well, I've babbled all this time, and it's already quitting time. One thing I got to say here real quick before we go is the lamestream media, the liberals, one and the same, a whole damn bunch of them, they just cannot be satisfied. They have to find some retarded, dumb little reason to get after Donald Trump or to get after any conservative. You know, there was a deal in there about milk being racist on there today. I didn't even read the whole story. I didn't want to. Didn't care. But here's something that President Trump does when he writes. And as far as I'm concerned, God bless him. I see this for what it is because I do the same thing. In every one of my writings, if you'll go look, unless I've made a mistake in one of them, this is how I do it. When President Trump is talking about our country, he capitalizes it. When he says the word country in his Twitter, in his tweets, he capitalizes it. When I write something about, every state in the union, I capitalize union. When I say every state in this great nation of ours, I capitalize nation. If I'm talking about the nation of Saudi Arabia, I do not capitalize it. If it's talking about ours, just like you capitalize, when you talk about the President of the United States, you put it's a capital P. If it's just the President of the Elks Club, the Elks Lodge or whatever, you don't capitalize the P. Most people don't. I don't know that there's a hard, fast rule on that, but that's... So anyway, the lamestream media is getting after Donald Trump because he capitalizes country. Somebody called him out for it, called him out on this last Friday. After he was talking about something on there, he said... and he said, when I refer to the USA, I will always capitalize the word country. And then they say he has yet to explain his reasoning behind it. Do I have to explain that to everybody? How hard is that to figure out? For crying out loud, naturally social media had a field day with this, earning Trump's self-imposed grammar rule a Twitter. But this is not his self-imposed grammar. He's not the only one that does this. I'm not the only other one that does this. I learned that from somebody. If I'm not mistaken, I think in grade school that we were advised that this is the way to do it. Some replies take issue with his claim that he always capitalizes country. Screenshots of tweets, some sent as recently as Thursday, showed quite the opposite. Others were quick to point out that capitalizing the word country, except at the beginning of a sentence or when it's used as a proper noun, i.e. in reference to the music genre country, is grammatically incorrect. But of course, as usual, the literal dictionary had the word "you run the country" tweeted dictionary.com. We still get to say how people capitalize it. So, anyway. Retarded little tidbits of crap there, man. All right, well, I've had all the fun I can stand, so I think I'm going to start easing towards the door here. And you guys hopefully will come back and join me Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 Central for the shooting bench. We've got a few gun-related things we want to talk about. I try to save that for Wednesday night. And Liberty Lounge, we've got a whole new list of stuff for Liberty Lounge this week. So with that all being said, I think I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we'll see you guys Wednesday night. And I appreciate you joining.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.